welcome to episode 89 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth and Laura. Back in episode 39, we filled you in on all the different ski options that Colorado has to offer. Well, we would be remiss if we didn't take you back to this awesome state in summer and share some other must-do experiences. Home to Pikes Peak, Rocky Mountain National Park, and the Garden of the Gods, to name a few, Colorado has something to offer every traveler. And did we fail to mention breweries?
We won't fail to mention them.
Elizabeth has recently returned from a weekend getaway, primarily in Loveland and Fort Collins, and she's eager to share what she learned. So let's get started. So where did you fly into?
Denver. Which, I mean, there are other places to fly into, but Denver is the easiest to get to, and it was the closest to where I was going to be going. So
how far were you from Denver?
About an hour, depending on traffic, hour 15.
Because I think, like, the Pikes Peak and all, that's close to Denver, right?
Yeah, and some of what we did, you know, my itinerary sort of strays a few different directions. So we flew into Denver, and then we actually went out to Divide, which... I'm moving to Colorado. It's a beautiful, beautiful state, and I'd never been, and I'm way too late. I'm 45 years old.
I thought you were moving to Costa Rica.
No, that's after I moved to Denver. It really, and not necessarily Denver, but Divide, Colorado is like, the downtown is this, and this was true in several of these little, these Colorado towns. It's sort of this Wild West kind of, like, they kept that sort of feel, despite the fact that everything's modern and, you know, completely functional. But, so we went into Divide, and we went there, and actually, I meant to look this up before we recorded, now I'm going to feel silly, but there's a wolf, conservation center down there. It's a small one. I want to say it's the Wolf and Wildlife Center, I think is what it's called. In Divide. And so that sort of took us south about an hour of Denver. So we flew in, drove down there, did our thing there, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and then came back up to Denver to eat. And then we went up into Loveland. So although Colorado is a big state, there's a lot you can do sort of in that area. You just have to be ready to drive a little bit.
So, and elevation too is a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It is a thing. So Denver is, I think, a little over 8,000 miles.
Yeah, Mile High Stadium.
And we were actually going, I'll just reveal to the whole world that I, participate in roller derby. And when I say I participate, I watch. I watch other people, participate, but I actually, score keep and time keep and do things like that. So I was actually going, I went to Colorado for a derby tournament, a roller derby tournament, men's and women's. Tournament. It's a huge tournament. It's been going on for like 6 years. It's one of the biggest ones. And so that was a big concern of the team that I was traveling with was, you know, are we going to get really sick? You know, the tournament itself was in Loveland, which is only at 5,000 feet. So, so much better. And everybody did really well. You stay hydrated. And that was, you know, we actually met up with Heather, which if you go back and listen to episode 39, Heather was our guest on that podcast. She's born and raised in Colorado and is very proud of where she lives. And that was the first thing she thrust water at us and said, drink. Yeah. You know, that's the first thing.
Well, even when you bake, you can, like, if you get a box of cookies, there's elevation instructions on it.
And she was bragging about her cereal. She's like, I can open a box of cereal and it takes weeks for it to go stale, you know? And she has relatives who live in Atlanta, Georgia, and they just get freaked out whenever she opens a cereal box and leaves it open. And she's like, my cereal's not going to go stale.
So tell me about the wolves, because you made a special trip to go visit the dire wolves.
Well, I was traveling with my friend Walter. Shout out Walter. Walter White, actually, which if you ever want fun, travel with somebody with a famous name from, you know, a famous TV show. And, But, and he basically, I said, what do you want to do in Denver that first day? And he said, I want to go to the Mint. I was like, really? All right, I'll do that. Can we go to a brewery afterwards? He's like, sure, but I want to go to the Mint. And it was very important to him to go to the Mint. So I was like, okay, take one for the team. I'll have a beer afterwards. And then he one day just private messages me and says, hey, I found this place. And he sent me the link to it. And he sent it to Heather as well because she was going to be showing us around. He's like, let's do this. And I said, well, it's an hour south, which means then we're going to have to drive back to Denver and then, you know, another hour north. He's like, that's fine. I'm like, it's cooler than the mint.
Yeah, it's not the mint.
It's not the mint. So I signed up for that, and we decided to actually do, there's a tour that you can do, and then you can pay extra to have your picture taken with wolves. And when I say your picture taken with wolves, you go into the pen.
Yeah, I was surprised that they, you know, were hanging out with you like that.
Yeah.
Like big dogs.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, me being the adventurous person I am, I was like, sure, I'll do that, thinking it's not the mint. And like 2 nights later, I woke up, I sat bolt upright in my bed, and I was like, what did I just sign up for? What was I thinking? So, but honestly, you know, I was scared. I was respectfully scared. I mean, I knew that they weren't going to put me into a pen with wolves
that, wolves that hadn't eaten in a week.
Or that had a bad attitude. And, you know, these, a lot of these wolves were rescued as very, as younger wolves. They were not born in captivity. Well, they might have been born in captivity, but not at the, they actually neuter the male wolves. They don't stay the female wolves because it's more invasive, which I think is also very nice. So,
That's how it should be in real life. Yes.
Yes.
Much easier.
So, there's no men to represent on this podcast right now, so we probably should not get into that conversation.
I know, I'm gonna hear about that one.
But anyway, so they have had pups born, when a wolf got pregnant accidentally, had an accidental pregnancy, and they told us that story as well. But they do not intentionally breed, and said none of their wolves, but they do have wolves who have been there a very long time. And I think actually one of the wolves we met, they said his uncle or something was actually the wolf in the second Twilight movie, or, you know, so some of these wolves are actually, you know, they're sort of
famous,
as domesticated as a wolf, you know, they're trained.
Right.
But they also had, they had some coyotes there that were, you know, they were like, they didn't even approach the fence when we came to see them, despite the fact that the guy doing the tour has treats. They're like, I'm not interested in you people, you know, and we were good with that. We could see them from a distance. That's fine.
And one of the, or several of the pictures, it looks like the wolf is like across your lap.
Yeah.
Close. I mean, they had to sit on the, he did not sit on my lap.
He's big.
He's a big wolf. And, yes. And so we're doing the tour, and they'll throw these treats at the wolves to get them to come up to the, you know, they don't have them do tricks or anything, but they just said that they'll come up so you can see them. They'll come to the fence, and they throw these little bacon treats. So they're throwing these treats over the fence, and the wolves will jump up and snap their jaws. And I looked over at Walter, I was like, are you gonna get in there? That's scary. And he laughed, and he laughed at my fear. And then, so we finished the tour and come back around, and they actually put us in with, the wolf that I'm in the photos with is about 14 or 15 years old, male wolf. And then there was another male wolf, the black wolf, that was like 3 years old. So, two very different, and one was a timber wolf, and I can't remember, the black one was a timber wolf. I don't remember what the other one was. I don't know my breeds that well. Yeah. It was a big wolf.
So it's interesting because in Pittsburgh, which is close to where we are, there's a big cat reserve, mm-hmm. and they rescue tigers and, mm-hmm. yeah. and you know, like pumas and, mm-hmm. and all kinds of different types of cats. But they do not. Nobody gets in the cages.
Right.
Any of those cats.
Right.
You know?
And I honestly think, I mean, they took all of, like, we couldn't wear any jewelry. They said nothing that the wolves can get obsessed with. Mm-hmm. So nothing can really be dangling off of you. You need to not have anything unusual about you. So the fine print on the website even says if you have an oxygen tank or anything like that, where you've got anything that a wolf would find to be a toy or different about you that they could become obsessed with, you can't bring it in. You can't come in with that.
So they're not just big dogs.
They're not just big dogs. And in fact, two of the wolves they introduced us to, not the ones that we actually met, but two of the wolves that they introduced us to were rescued because they were sold as wolf dog mixes. You know, in some states that is legal. I think Texas is where these two came from, where it's legal to own wolf dog mixes. They were purebred wolves. They were pure, so that was one thing that they talked to us about, was if you think you're buying a wolf dog mix, you might not be. You can't trust these breeders. That might be a full blooded.
So are there issues with them turning, or?
Yeah, they're basically, as a puppy, as a wolf cub, they're cute and adorable like baby tigers are. Super adorable. And then at about 3 years old, wolves are very independent minded. And so all the things you thought you could do to control them, if you thought they were listening to you, they may still respect you. But, you know, so there was a report of one who, like, was outside in the woman's backyard when she went to work and broke in the back door, did like $5,000 worth of damage in her house, and then jumped out a second story window in the front of the house and ran. So yeah, I mean, wow. They're wild animals. They're wild animals. And that wolf was big. I'm 5'10" and over 200 pounds, well over 200 pounds. And this wolf was big. Now they said that their heaviest wolf was 100 pounds or so. But it's still, it's a really good
100
dog.
100-pound dog. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah.
What's hey, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Transitioning from the last topic we just talked about, what would you think about this attraction as something that somebody who is in a wheelchair or has some mobility challenges, could they go to this attraction?
They could go to and they could do the tour. It's a rock path. So it just, you know, you need to have.
Is it hilly?
Yeah, it's in the mountains. Yeah, I didn't notice a huge incline, but I wasn't paying attention, to that. So I would say, you know, it could probably do the tour if you had a wheelchair that could cover sort of an all terrain kind of thing. And with, you know, strong help, because yes, there are some inclines there. Maybe not see all the wolves. And the tour is great. At the end, they howl with you, which is really fun. So the guide got us all to howl, although we didn't have to. He did a howl, and then they all howled.
That's hilarious.
So cool.
We try to do that with our chihuahua all the time.
Well, it worked for these wolves.
It does work with her, too.
And you would hear this, like, yipping in the background, and I was like, what is that yipping? And he's like, oh, that's the coyotes. All the wolves, all the dogs have different, you know.
We just watched Zootopia really this weekend, too.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're going to start a howl. And then the dogs are all,
ooh. They do. They all howl. But we got in there with them, and it's summertime, so they're blowing their coats. So they basically just said, scratch them. We keep scratching them anywhere but on the head or the ears. They said, I know at home you pet your dog on the head and the ears because it's so soft. Yeah. Don't do that because it's a sign of dominance. And so that was the whole time I'm like, no head, no ears, which is really hard to do because once you feel comfortable with them, it's really easy to just go, scoot on the head. And that just wouldn't have gone over well. And the other thing about wolves, I'll just tell you, is the way that they show affection, they have sensory glands in their mouth, and including scent. And so to feel you out, they lick you inside the mouth.
You were French kissing the wolf?
The wolf was French kissing me. I did not lick the wolf inside the mouth.
I saw that picture.
Yeah, but it literally, you know, and they said if the wolf goes to do it, you want to accept it because if you reject it, the wolf will walk away. You'll have insulted the wolf.
Oh my God.
So you basically, which I now wonder if they just do to laugh at you.
Yeah, I know,
they
right?
They took lots and lots of pictures and,
I bet.
Yeah. And, it's weird. It tastes like anything, but yeah, just letting a wolf lick the inside of your mouth.
What was the wolf licking before you came over it? Well, you gotta think about these things, Elizabeth.
I
was kissed by a giraffe in Kenya, but not by a wolf.
I don't know if that's any better, really.
Yeah, really. What are those giraffes looking
at? Yeah. I don't know. It was definitely weird.
Okay. So I'm afraid I might have to insult the wolf.
I'm gonna chalk that up to life experience. I did consider insulting the wolf, but once, you know, when you've got a wolf looking you in the face about to open its mouth, you just sort of do whatever, you know?
So I just have to say, in case no one realized my Game of Thrones reference earlier, this is just killing me because the last month's episode of Game of Thrones.
Which will be way out of date by the time we
get it. Will be, yeah, because we record this a little bit early. But if you've watched the second to the last episode of this season, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Oh, God, that's funny.
But it was definitely very cool. And I would say, if you're able to go, it is worth the drive out to Divide for sure.
So did you do a brewery after that? Get the wolf taste out of your mouth?
No. So we did, you know, I was there for a sports tournament and Walter is a skater. So I, you know, we did sort of hold back. We did go have lunch, it was dinner at that point. I did have one beer, because when in Colorado, one must have beer. And then,
wait, how is that different than?
Well, because it's Colorado, so it's an excuse. And then we were about to drive an hour and a half to the mountains to camp. So
another thing we got to talk about.
Yeah. So we saw a little bit of Denver and then we drove up our mountain.
So how did you get talked into camping? Cause all I hear about is, I made you do it one night at Disney, and it's like, Sandy, Jamie.
Yeah.
I even pitched the tent.
And then we talked, we did the Costa Rica episode, and I was like, that's as close to glamping as I, you know, as camping as I'll ever get. And then I just did it again. So, I don't know. Probably the same way I got talking to the wolves. It was, you know, better than the alternative. Basically, the team was looking to stay someplace less expensive and, Colorado-y. And so and it was beautiful. It was in Roosevelt National Forest.
So define your glamping. So when I glamped in Yosemite, we had like a wooden cabin with cots, with mattresses, with electricity, doors. Yes.
Yeah. Wooden cabin. And actually they were connected. They have one cabin there called the Caboose, which is actually a caboose. But it was already rented. We didn't get that. So basically the whole team took about four cabins and I took one that was like a little one or two person.
When I say cabin, this was like a room.
Yeah. It was a room with a bed and we actually had, and we actually had full kitchens in the bigger cabins, the ones that the team were sharing. I had like I had a cooktop and a coffee maker, and a sink, no dishwasher, camping.
You had way more than me. Because I had to like walk to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Oh, no. I had an ensuite bathroom.
There is already a great difference here.
Yes. and then carpet, honestly. So it was really quite nice, but it was definitely a cabin in the woods.
That's just my apartment.
Yeah, cabin in the woods and glamping. I don't know. I think I need to take you on a glamping trip.
No, I think I'm good.
You're glamping all over the world.
I think you're glamping with me. I think I'm good. No, it was great. And, you know, for the team, it was great because that was, you know, a lot of bonding could happen there. And
could you guys do campfires and stuff?
Yeah, there was actually a fire by there was a river there. Mm-hmm. So there's a fire by the river, all these rocks with like Adirondack chairs. And then there was, picnic tables and grills. So we cooked out one night. But you know, the tournament is actually 3 days long from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. So it was pretty intense, at least for me. That's the other thing. The skaters only skated 3 bouts, and each bout is like an hour and a half. So they had 2 on Friday and 1 on Sunday. I, as a scorekeeper, timekeeper person, worked the whole thing all 3 days.
Oh, God.
So, but, you know, a lot of the team would say we, you know, shared rental cars. It was a team trip. So we shared rental cars. So those 3 days were a wash. I mean, I was in Loveland, Colorado at the Budweiser Event Center. And, you know, and watching roller derby. So those 3 days were not touristy at all.
So if you had...
The forest sounds beautiful.
The forest was beautiful and there was no signal, zero signal. If you wanted to get away from it all, there was no signal. And for those who partake, it was also 420 friendly. So if you wanted to...
Things are legal. That's why Girl Scouts do so well.
Yes. So it is, and there are laws, there's regulation, but, you know, as long as you follow those, like this was, you had to partake outside. You could not, be inside. The cabins were all no smoking.
Yeah.
And if children were about, then you could not, you know, it was sort of an agreement. It's a privately owned, facility.
Yeah. So if you were to go back and you were not doing like a 3-day-long tournament where your time was totally taken up, what would you want to say to me?
Oh, and I will go back. Well, first of all, after the tournament was over, we went to Fort Collins and we did several brewery tours. There's also very close to where we were is Estes Park, which is also, you know, a ski resort in the winter. Yeah. And I think that's one thing to know about Colorado is all these places that are ski resorts in the winter also have a lot going on in the summer. And so Breckenridge, you know, Heather talked about that on our last podcast. Some of these places are great to go in the summer. Estes Park also is home to the Stanley Hotel, which is actually someplace that our other agent Andy went when he went earlier this year. And it's the inspiration for The Shining. And also where Dumb and Dumber was filmed. So, and I think you can get like
opposite end of the spectrum that is.
Exactly. And we didn't go. We didn't really have time to go. We talked about it, but it just didn't work out. And there's conflicting reports as to whether or not it's worth it. I did hear that there's a beer served. I think we're reading on the website. There's a beer served that's called like the Red Rum. Amber or something like that. So, you know, that's brewed for the Stanley Hotel. So, definitely lots to see and do just in that whole area. And honestly, downtown Loveland was pretty darn cute too. And, there's a brewery right on our way to the National Forest. And it's called Big Beaver. And all their beer names are, innuendo, some more than others. So, great little brewery though. And really just like most breweries, it's very, you would never know it was there. It's in like a little office building and it's actually fronted by a cider, a place that makes hard cider. Mm-hmm. So both places are sort of connected. Yeah. So it's easy stop on our way back from there.
Yeah, I'm a big geocacher, and Estes Park has some really cool.
I bet.
Noted for some really cool geocaches.
I bet. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. The state is just—it's really beautiful. It's very sunny, and so we did Fort Collins the one day, and then our last day we flew out in the evening. So we came back down to Denver and met up with Heather again, who is a fantastic tour guide, and she took us out to Red Rocks, which is you would actually love it. It's the famous amphitheater.
And you know, the brothers play there.
Yes, right? And actually, she's so excited because that's the concert she's going to this summer.
I'm so jealous.
That's actually where she had heard of the Avett Brothers. She's like, my favorite band is from North Carolina. I was like, oh really? Who is it? I should have just guessed.
Yeah.
But, and you know, the U2 Sunday, Bloody Sunday mm-hmm. video was filmed at Red Rock. It's a, you know, very well known. I had never heard of it being the coolest person I am, but it is really impressive. And especially as someone who really, you know, Greece is one of my favorite places to travel. And a lot of the Greek amphitheaters that are, you know, it was modeled after one that's actually in Sicily, but it's a Greek amphitheater. So these big, huge rocks, all this natural sound, control there, just really amazing. Other than the drawback of it rains a lot there. She said, you know, that in that video, the YouTube video, Sunday, Bloody Sunday, it's pouring. Mm-hmm. She's like, that's it. You know, that's what happens because it's on the side of a mountain. So the clouds just come in and dump. but it is, it's just like built into the side of the mountain. It's great. There's a little museum there, a little whole thing. And then just right around the corner, you know, you drive down the mountain. There's Dinosaur Ridge where they found dinosaur footprints.
Nice.
How cool is that? I mean,
yeah, they're really
actual
cool.
Dinosaur footprints. Yeah. So you have to park and then, unless you're in like a school bus or in one of their vehicles, it's a short hike up a little ways. And then there's these walls and they sort of have signs there explaining the ocean used to sort of run through there, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. And so they talk about like these are there's a crocodile scratches in the rock and stuff like that. So yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, John Tesh recorded a live album there.
He did.
John Tesh at Red Rocks, and they brought mm-hmm. his piano, and you can hear the echoes of the rocks when he plays.
Mm-hmm.
It's really incredible.
Okay. Yep. Maybe I'll have to plan a Avett Brothers concert here. They come, and you know, they play a lot in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and I miss them constantly. It drives me nuts.
It's a good excuse to go to Colorado. If that's an excuse you need to go to Colorado,
yeah,
then it's worth it. And the view from up there is beautiful. You can actually, as you're sitting in the amphitheater, you can see Denver. And, you know, we were there during the day, but she described it, you know, with all the lights lit up and everything. And she was pointing out the different neighborhoods and things. It really is gorgeous. And then, and of course, and there were lots. It's not a national park. It's a city park, I think she said. It's owned by the city of Denver. So that's why you can go up there for free. During when there's not a concert, you can go up there and, people actually like CrossFit goes up there. They like run the steps. It's, you know, really steep steps. And, so yeah, and it's totally free. There was no admission whatsoever. You just walk in. So, and she said you can actually like, they won't kick you out till like 2:00. So if a band is there that you want to hear, but you don't want to pay to see them, go to soundcheck at noon or so.
Oh wow!
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, because it's
great open. Tip.
Yeah.
It's
so, how far is it from like hotels and stuff? Do you have to?
You would want to rent a car, or you know, or Uber it, or whatever.
So,
I mean, there's a lot of parking up there, and she gave us all the parking tips. So you know, if you're going to do this, call your local travel agent. We'll hook you up.
Maybe I'm
going to
do this.
But she said, you know, all the locals know to park in these lots, and then everybody else, all the, you know, because that's some lots you have to walk up more stairs than others.
Oh,
and,
nice.
So, but all the parking lots are free too. It's all free parking.
Wow.
You just have to know where you want to go. So, yeah, it's a really remarkable place. I mean, and the story of it, everything, it's, you know, over 100 years old.
Wow.
So
I have a cousin who lives in Colorado. She's getting ready to move though, but she kind of lives in this, I think she's like 4 hours-ish from Denver. And I'm not sure if it's the way the crow flies. I think there's mountains and stuff
to
go around, but, it's a town called Creston, and I've never really heard of it, but it's pretty much a hippie town. You know, I have told you about my hippie cousin before.
But there, I have a love affair with sunrises and sunsets, and I often ask when I'm going to travel, You know, what's the best place in town or what's the best place in your state to see a sunrise or sunset? Yeah. I bet Red Rocks would be a beautiful sunset.
I bet it is. And honestly, I got to tell you, I have no idea which direction it was facing. So I'm not exactly sure.
But just on the rocks, about, but, I think it would be incredible.
Yeah. And of course, all the rocks are red. It's, you know, kind of like the English name of foods after what it actually is. It's red rocks.
Do they really?
Yeah, like mushy peas.
What is it, bubble and squeak?
That's what it sounds like when it's cooking. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. So anyway, to answer your question, where would I go? I would just go somewhere else. I mean, honestly, I'm going to go back to Fort Collins because I only hit four breweries and there's so many more. But then Breckenridge, I would love to go to Breckenridge, even if it's during the summer.
I'd love to go to Pike's Peak.
Well, so we saw Pike's Peak, and actually the Wolf place is on the other side of Pike's Peak. It's on the back side of Pike's Peak.
There's a marathon.
Yeah, we did not actually do anything remotely resembling climbing Pike's Peak.
So Ron Wahula, who did the Everest podcast with us, he had to go back and do it again because he missed the cutoff. And when they give you cutoff points, and he didn't make the second one, and they made him turn around and go all the way back down. So he pretty much did the mileage. Oh, wow. He just had to go back the following year to
people
get it.
Do this totally fun. I don't understand.
He wasn't going to stop until he got it. He got it. So, you know,
tell you right, the ski town, but it looks like a really cool little town that during the summer too.
Yes. And that's another place that's sort of on my list as well. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to see. And incidentally, the Derby tournament was fantastic as well. So, I would say I would go back in a heartbeat, and that it is one of those places. There are places that where after I'm there for a while, I'm like, I could live here, but I was in Colorado for, I don't know, 5 minutes. And I said, I could live here.
She went there in the winter. Beautiful. I bet you it's different in the winter.
You know what? she was describing Denver. Heather was describing Denver to us as we were driving around. She's like, you know, we do get snow, but because of where Denver is, it melts really quickly. Or, and depending on, she's like, depending on where your house is too, like sometimes she'll have like an inch of snow, but her neighbor will have a foot. So you just have to choose wisely.
And I guess you have to get used to the elevation. I know when the Steelers play in Denver, they do not fare well.
No, and you know, I noticed the elevation, but it didn't. And I'm not in great physical condition. One could say that I'm in really crappy physical condition.
There was one of their athletes, and I don't want to say his name because I don't remember for sure, but he had his sickle cell anemia kick up, and he lost his spleen after playing in Denver. Mm-hmm. And then, so there was always this, like, this controversy when they would go back of whether he would play or not, and they wouldn't let him, and he always wanted to, and, you know, it's like, no, you're not playing. You can't do this. So, yeah, there's things to consider like that, but,
Well, and generally a day or two of acclimation will, you know, if you're going to do anything really strenuous, you definitely want to go early and try, you know, don't hit the ski slopes the minute you get there because, and not, you've just gotten off of a plane too. So you've got all this sort of up and down. It was really interesting because I bought, in the airport here in Raleigh, I bought a bag of, banana chips, you know, and as just your normal, like potato chip bag or whatever, banana chips. And I stuck it in my bag and I decided I didn't need to eat it on the plane. I get there. And sometimes those bags will sort of puff up a little bit with the pressure, but then they'll go back down again. The whole time I was in Colorado, it was like a big balloon. I didn't want to open it because I was afraid it would explode. So I waited. Actually, when I got back to Raleigh, there was still a little bit of air in it. Like you could tell it had been on a plane and had, it had.
That's when you need one of your kids there.
I know, like, open this. Yeah. And this would be obvious to anyone, even my children who are incidentally very smart, would be like, no. And I did. I actually handed it to Walker. I was like, you want to open this? He's like, I don't think I could. I think it'll explode everywhere.
So, like a pin.
Yeah. So, you know, Colorado is beautiful and everyone should go. Go buy your tickets now. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click on podcasts at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or just search for Fly Away or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Laura, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!